The Toronto Blue Jays are in action tonight, Pooley. Matt Shoemaker expected to pitch five innings, which is a lot for a pitcher who I guess he's been throwing, but hasn't really been throwing innings of any kind of consequence. But also Austin Martin, the first-round pick, who yesterday signed a deal that was worth $7 million over his slot value, will be part of the 60-man taxi roster. So that has a lot of fans excited, and I'm sure it has our next guest excited. Gregor Chisholm from Toronto Star. He's their baseball columnist. How are you, Gregor?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're great. We are excited to actually hear about baseball being played. I know it's an intra-squad game, but if I'm listening to Charlie Montoyo, the manager, I guess I shouldn't ask you how good the Blue Jays are going to be. It's how responsible are the Blue Jays going to be, because that will lead to their success, won't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what Charlie said yesterday, was that there, you know, there's his message to the Blue Jays going into this is, you know, there's going to be two teams, two types of teams that go through this season. They're going to be the teams that, you know, find reasons to complain about the protocols that are in place. The ones that try to bend the rules a little bit and then probably end up getting sick as a result, and you risk the quarantine issue. And then there are other teams who just accept this as the reality of the situation, and that, you know, these are trying times and that you do things a little bit differently than the way you did before. And so, you know, that's what they're looking for from this team, especially with the Canadian situation that they have on top of this. I mean, the Blue Jays are facing additional quarantines than anybody in the States is facing right now. And so there's a lot of things that they have to work through and a lot of regulations that they're going to have to follow. And really the only way that the Blue Jays can have any chance of pulling this off is if everybody buys in.
Gregor, we know about the reports of one player testing positive back in Dunedin, and that 12 players in total were held back because of their close contact with that player. Any information on which players aren't here in Toronto, and how, I don't know if detrimental is too strong of a word, but this is kind of you know, part of the pun, the show that you're on, overdrive for the team, and they need reps and they need practices. Do you know of any players who are an integral part of the roster who aren't in Toronto?
No, and that's part of the problem with the Blue Jays right now and Major League Baseball in general, because every team seems to be handling this very different. I mean, there are teams out there. I mean, the MLB regulations is that in order for positive tests to be revealed, players have to give consent. There are a lot of teams out there that are, you know, getting consent from their players and making those announcements. That's why we've seen, you know, 20 to 30 guys be publicly named over the last week or so for positive tests. The Blue Jays have been operating under a cloak of secrecy. I mean, all we've seen so far in the Blue Jays training camp are photos that were provided by the team for training camp earlier this week. I believe the Blue Jays are the only team so far who have yet to open up their camp to the media. That's going to change tonight, so we're going to get a better idea of actually who is in the building. But no, I mean, this is going to be an issue for a while now, and it's going to lead people to kind of be piecing things together. I mean, guys are going to get placed on the injured list. The Blue Jays seem adamant about not distinguishing between the two, and so it's going to be a lot of guesswork from here on out as to the exact reasons why some guys are out and some guys aren't.
Gregor, as much as the Blue Jays training up here caught everyone by surprise when it was first announced, and looking at it, it's really the only way it could have worked in terms of teams playing up here and coming up here to travel. You had to bring a team here from the States and have it be successful. So that maybe there's even more of a magnifying glass on the success of the Blue Jays through this stretch of time to see how well it will look with teams visiting to play games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the Jays can't afford to have any mistakes with that. I mean, they need to have strict protocols for their quarantine, because if they can't keep, you know, the current team quarantined, then, you know, I don't think there's going to be much faith that, you know, visiting teams coming in here are going to follow the Canadian guidelines. So there's an awful lot of things that they have to work through. And, you know, for the most part, you know, the federal restrictions should be sufficient. I mean, there's fines of up to $750,000 for breaking quarantine. I think you can get upwards of 6 months in prison. I mean, I can't imagine too many people would actually get those maximum fines and jail time, but that is the threat that some players have been facing. But there are additional questions on top of that. I mean, I'm curious as to how You know, the guest process is going to be restricted at the hotel at Rogers Center, because it's going to be easier said than done to always necessarily. It's not like the bubble in Orlando for the NBA where people have to enter a certain way. I mean, that hotel, from my understanding, is not completely shut down. I think it's 90% basically baseball right now, but it is open a bit to the general public. And so there are certainly questions with that. You know, how do you regulate, make sure that players don't have guys, people come into their rooms and things like that? There are a lot of questions, and ultimately the team's going to have to be responsible. And, you know, Danny Jansen kind of hinted at it yesterday. The players, to a certain extent, are going to have to police themselves. And that doesn't necessarily inspire a ton of confidence, but at the same time, I think everybody's aware that one mistake and this can all go pear-shaped in a hurry.
Gregor Chisholm from the Toronto Star joining us on Overdrive. Do you have any idea of a drop dead date in terms of hearing from the federal government whether they would allow the team to play games? When do you think a decision has to be made where they're going one way or another?
I mean, it has to come down the pipeline here soon. I mean, it's not something, I mean, basically, you know, there was like 2 or 3 days heads up for training camp, which was short notice, and that's understandable because you don't have games to schedule and all the, there's ways around that you can get it. But in this situation, they need to have an answer as quickly as they possibly can. But at the same time, I mean, the feds don't always work quickly, and the feds are going to also operate on their deadlines to a certain extent as well. I mean, the Major League Baseball can't expect to get that much preferential treatment. So, you know, I think they need to get some clarity, you know, within a week. I mean, certainly you need at least a week to prepare. And other teams need a bit of notice in terms of where they're going. So they've got a bit of time here, and certainly the emphasis seems to be still, obviously, that there's a strong preference from the club, understandably so, that they want their home facilities, they want to play here. And certainly the situation in Toronto is a lot better than Florida, so that's understandable. But, I mean, the feds are going to have some difficult decisions to make as to whether or not the potential risk to public health is worth it to bring not only the Jays here, because the training camp situation is very different. It's easy to isolate one team. It's going to be a lot different when you get the cross-border traffic coming, and the Jays are going to be going to the States once a week, and other teams are going to be coming up here once a week. So there's going to be an awful lot of traffic coming through that building, unlike there is right now, where they basically just set up shop and can stay there in a quarantine environment for 2 weeks without leaving.
Gregor, I'll happily switch the conversation to actual baseball talk right now. And the Jays signing Austin Martin out of Vanderbilt. And, you know, a lot of baseball people felt he slipped to them, rated number 2 overall in the draft. And then maybe Baltimore makes a financial decision, a couple of arms go, and all of a sudden he's available at 5. And the Jays added him to their 60-man roster. And maybe a question that I've thought about philosophically for a long time. Why can't a star baseball player step right from college after 3 successful years or 4 in the SEC, top baseball league in the country, and play Major League Baseball? It happens in all the other sports, and sometimes at an earlier age. Why is baseball so different about almost demanding or commanding that a player play in the minors before playing in the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting components to that. I mean, some of it is undeniably service time issues. I think teams like having guys under their club control through their late 20s as opposed to their earlier 20s, just because those are their prime years and they're able to keep them around. That's certainly an issue for the union that they've been talking about for years now in terms of suppressing some of that. And then there's the other part where, I mean, pitchers are a bit of a different ballgame. I mean, just in terms of inning limits per years, and it's just a much different schedule that they deal with college. The hitters, though, I mean, it's a very interesting point. I mean, there are some guys who are able to come, who should be able to come a lot quicker. And, you know, teams have really been trying to emphasize that patient approach. And, I mean, the Jays, it's been since John Olerud, the last guy who went straight from being drafted into the major leagues. He's the only guy who's ever done it without a minor league game. I think the Blue Jays had someone in the 70s as well who went straight from the draft into the big leagues, but then ended up getting sent back down. But it's just something you don't usually see. Martin, especially in this year, where there's a lot of unique circumstances, where there's no minor league season happening, there's no way he can really continue his development. There's an argument to be made that you should be making some of these guys a priority. I mean, you could say the exact same thing about Nate Pearson. Nate Pearson needs to be on the roster from day one because he has nowhere else to pitch. There's only so much you can do in inter-squad games and only so much you can do to get ready. But, you know, the whole keeping him in the minor leagues to develop doesn't carry any water this year because there is nowhere for him to develop. So, I mean, we've heard a lot about how Martin has a big league ready bat right now. And so I think there's an outside chance at some point you do see him this year. I think it's still probably going to take an injury for him to get that opportunity. I would be very surprised if you see him early on. I think they're going to send him to the alternate training camp location eventually and have him continue to train. But, I mean, especially when you have a year where this can be a wasted year for a lot of your top prospects and a lot of minor league guys, there should be more of an emphasis to get them up here quicker, especially, you know, if the skill set really does match up with what a lot of the scouts were saying. And I mean, he was considered, you know, arguably by some people the top overall player in this year's draft class. Mm-hmm. So if the hype matches, you know, what's been said about him, then I think he deserves that opportunity at some point this year. But it's not going to come on day one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I had a great back and forth with an SEC coach today, and he talked about the bat. I mean, it was the bat that was the difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watch players go through that league and the success they have in the majors, and so many great players come out of that specific league. And if there's going to be a different year and a different team, and particularly with the young stars the Jays have, plug him in and let him run with them.
Yeah.
Do something different. Yeah. Why not? Why not? It would be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and then the thing about that I really like about Martin is that he will give the Blue Jays a lineup a much different look. I mean, for the last few years in the Blue Jays lineup, I mean, it's been all power and all nothing. There's been far too much swing and miss. There hasn't been nearly enough guys who've been getting on base at a consistent mark. It's really been an all or nothing approach for far too many guys in that lineup. I mean, power pays. You want to have it. And, you know, you want some guys in there to go with that all or nothing approach because it does pay off. But when you have seven or eight guys who are taking the exact same strategy every time they go up the plate, it causes a lot of issues. And to a certain extent, it's also not very fun to watch. Martin is the exact opposite of that. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of power, but he's a guy who works really deep counts. He's going to have a high on base percentage, scatters the ball all over the field. And what the Blue Jays need the most, he's extremely difficult to strike out. I mean, the Blue Jays have been leading the league for the last few years. They've been in the top five in terms of strikeouts. We've seen that narrative time and time again where they finish games consistently with more strikeouts than hits. Martin's a guy who should be able to get them in the right direction and complement, you know, the young core that they already have in place.
And he might be a nice guy to hit in front of another nice young player in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Gregor Chisholm joining us on Overdrive. I want to get your thoughts on Vladdy because it was debated on this show yesterday. And the producer of the show, his name is Al's brother. I'm sure you've heard of him. He is skeptical that Vladdy will hit at least 10 home runs this season in a 60-game season. Let's pretend like they actually are going to play 60 games. Do you think that Vladdy is going to have a big year? But I guess more importantly, are you going to side with me and Mike Johnson, who was my co-host yesterday, that he will hit at least 10 home runs?
Yeah, I think he'll get into the double digits.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, the 10's a great over-under, you know, for people who like that kind of stuff. I think that's right at the kind of the sweet spot. I do expect to see more power than you saw in the second half of last season. He got himself a little bit out of whack. You know, the launch angle on his swing wasn't really working. And, you know, I realized that some people were disappointed in his performance last year, and understandably so, because he came with so much hype and people expected him to hit the ground running from day one. But, you know, you've seen baseball oftentimes doesn't work that way, and it does take people a little bit of time. This is a guy who's never really failed before in his career. Last year was as close as he's ever come to it. You know, with a guy with those type of skill sets, you'd like to think that he's going to use that to his advantage. And, you know, there are a lot of things that he worked on this offseason in terms of that. You know, I still certainly have questions about the overall fitness and how long he can stay at third base. But I'm not one of the ones who's still questioning the bat. I mean, I think he's going to bounce back this year, and I think you're going to see, you know, the exit velocity was good last year. He was putting, you know, he got some line drives, but he just wasn't doing much with them in terms of putting them over the wall and getting the loft he needs for a guy with his type of power. And I think that's going to change this year. I think you're going to see a little bit more of it.
Tonight it's the Blue Jays versus the Blue Jays. Will you get to go? Will you be in the building, Gregor?
Yeah, it's going to be my first time going through the temperature checks and all that security type stuff that they're dealing with. But yeah, no, we're getting into the ballpark around 5 o'clock, so it'll be our first chance to get an in person look at them since late March.
Do you know what the press box looks like? Is it like a couple seats in between each journalist?
Yeah, I would think so. But all I know so far is that they're moving us out of the press box, actually, and I think they're moving us down into the TD comfort level, which is just one section below where the press box normally is. And I think there's a little bit more of an open air environment there. And I think there's a little bit more space for us to be spread out. So I think they're moving us away from the cramped press box and into some, I mean, space is certainly not an issue in that ballpark, so we should be able to find some place. I mean, we're not allowed down into the field. We're not allowed to talk to anybody outside of, you know, Zoom interviews and stuff we do online. But they are letting us in to kind of watch and observe and, you know, see how the games go.
They really could just say, Section 117, that's yours. Yes. Scott Mitchell, you get Section 118. Don't look over at Gregor and bother him, okay? Give him his 15 rows and just let him be. But we're looking forward to hearing about what happens tonight and reading your work as they try to execute a 60-game season. So all the best to MLB trying to do that, and all the best to you, Gregor. Thanks for joining us here on Overdrive.
No problem. Thanks. Appreciate it.
There's Gregor Chisholm from the Toronto Star getting ready for an intra-squad game. I don't think I've ever said intra-squad as much in one show as I have today, but it is the Blue Jays versus the Blue Jays inside the Dome, where they hope to play regular season games, although that sentiment is not exactly shared by all Torontonians and Canadians in general, Pooley.